93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The weeks of the season are now becoming days. The final push is on. Pompey have hit top form when it matters. Can they keep the good run going? Tonight we speak extensively to a Pompey star on the good vibes around Fratton Park and get to know the character in question a bit more closely, if you pardon the pun. Joining us tonight on the Football Hour is one of our very own, Ben Closeby, discussing his season at Fratton, taking on the famous Keepy Uppy Challenge and dishing the dirt on the training ground shenanigans. And if there's one hour you should look forward to, it should always be the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to this week's First Day Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Henry Deegan here for you to keep the hot seat warm for the next two evenings for Mrs. Robbins and Smith. But rest assured we'll keep you well entertained and well informed of all that's going on around the Blues. Don't forget that tonight, as well as the rest of the season, we're proudly sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. If you need to get to A to B around the city and you're fed up with a Pompey commute, then hop on a bus. In 2018, they made over 7 million journeys, meaning you'll be in very capable hands. As it's first day, we have a Pompey player in the studio and a chance for you, the Fratton faithful, to get to know the person behind the star and get to fire away any questions that you would so like. I'm happy to say that the man sat opposite me this evening is born and bred Pompey. Cut him open and you're bleeding blue. Joining me tonight is Ben Close. Ben, very good evening to yourself.
Good evening.
And of course, if you have any questions for Ben, please do get involved. They could be from the serious to the ridiculous, however you want to get involved. On the text is 81400. Don't forget to start that text with the word Express. You can email us. Our address is pompey@expressfm.com for that. Or you can send us a tweet to our official handle, which is @Express, and we'll get stuck into those in the second part of tonight's show. Ben, great to have you with us. And I suppose it's quite timely. You know, you've been in great vein of form. We see things look as if it's going well for you at the moment.
Yeah, things are going very well. On the pitch, obviously, we're getting the results that we need, and hopefully that can continue for the next few weeks. And hopefully, yeah, the three league games we've got left are any games we're playing this season.
Have you felt like you're hitting a purple patch at the moment?
I think since I've come back into the team, I have performed well. I think my performances are always getting better, and I'm always learning. Obviously, it's nice to be scoring some goals as well, and I think I've chipped in with a decent return of goals this season from midfield. So, it's all looking good.
Was there almost like a eureka moment at some point where you felt, yes, I'm ready, I've got that run, and I just feel like an assured first-team player now that can play consistently?
I think I started to feel more confident last season. I had a long run in the team. I played something like 40 league games, so... That obviously helped me going into this season. Wasn't quite the same at the start of the season. Obviously, I was in and out of the team a little bit. But even, you know, when I was coming off the bench, I was still confident I could have an impact on the game, a positive impact. And obviously, when my chance came to start games again, which was, you know, sort of the turn of the year, I felt ready to go, and I felt like I learnt a lot last year. And, like I said, just really happy with how the season's gone.
How much about runs like that are down to mindset and having the right mindset, especially when you're sitting on the bench and you want to get on, you want to get minutes, but you understand it's a whole team role?
Yeah, that's true. And, managers are always emphasising that. They're always saying how you've got to look at the bigger picture. You've got to look at it from their point of view. And it is about the club. It is about the squad. It's not about any individual. Obviously, it's nice to be playing in a successful team. But if... you know, players that don't find themselves in the team, I've just got to get their head down, work hard and wait for their chance and make sure they're ready when they do get it.
And of course, recent performances has earned you a new contract. You're staying at Fratton Park until 2021. Your boyhood club. I suppose you must be really pleased to get that over the line, especially before the end of the season.
Yeah, really pleased. Obviously, signing any contract is very pleasing. To do it at Portsmouth again is excellent for me, and to do it, you know, with several games left of the season still to play is even more pleasing.
Is it almost an honour when you know it's your boyhood club, the club you grew up watching, that they're so impressed with you, they want to keep you on board?
Absolutely. At the moment, you know, Portsmouth is a great club to be at, so for it to be the club that I've supported my whole life is incredible. You know, not many players do get the chance to do that, you know, to play several games for the club that they support. But you know, I've been able to play over 100 now, and the club is going in one direction. It looks like it. The only way is up from here. We've had success over the last couple of seasons, and hopefully we can finish this season off, you know, having already won one trophy with promotion.
A couple of years ago, obviously, Pompey got promoted as champions, and of course, the celebrations. Does being a part of that experience, does that help you going into a period such as this, knowing that you have been over the line, you have done it? It's not a first experience for yourself.
For myself, it's slightly different because obviously I wasn't a key part of that team. I didn't play any league games that season, and was out on loan at Eastleigh during the second half of that season. So obviously, it wasn't quite the same. But yeah, I mean, for the players that were in that run, and we've still got a few, it definitely helps. I think, you know, it's probably no coincidence that we've hit a similar run of form. You know, we've won so many games recently, and we did so 2 years ago as well. Maybe that's due to some of the players that were playing then, you know, are also playing now. But yeah, we're in great form, and we've just got to finish it off now, three to play.
Do you feel like Pompey have hit form at exactly the right time?
I hope so, yeah. I hope we haven't left it too late. Obviously, we had a big blip, sort of Christmas time. But, you know, we eventually put that past us. And since, you know, Charlton, I mean, we've won every game since Charlton, I think. And even before that, we were on a good run of form too.
You spoke a few minutes ago about the Chequered Trade Trophy final. It'd be rude not to talk about it. It was a fantastic day up at Wembley, incredibly a month ago now. For you, a local lad, growing up, going on that pitch at Wembley and lifting that trophy, how did that feel for you? It must have been a very special moment.
It was special, yeah. I mean, there are several players, well, not several, there are a lot of players that, you know, go their whole career without playing at Wembley, without winning at Wembley, so to be able to play at Wembley so early was in my career is great. But the manager was saying, you know, in the build-up to the game, don't get caught up in the hype of playing at Wembley and thinking, you know, that it's going to be a great occasion playing at the National Stadium. It's only a good day if you win. And obviously for us it was an excellent day because we did win, and you just have to look at the Sunderland players after the game, how down they were, how defeated they looked. And yeah, the manager's right. Wembley's not a place for losers. So to be able to play and win at Wembley so early on in my career is special.
Is it sometimes hard though? Obviously, as a football fan and a Pompey fan, going up to try and take that emotion away from the occasion and make sure that actually it's just another football match. 90 minutes, obviously the extra time penalty at the end of it is just another game of football, essentially.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from the fact that you know, it is my boyhood club, and you know, the weeks building up to the game, that was obviously in my head. You know, I was desperate to win. But as soon as you step out onto the pitch, it is another game of football, really. And that's how all of our mindsets were. And that's what you've got to do. You can't get caught up in the occasion. I think, you know, just because I support the club, it probably would have made losing tougher, but winning, you know, all the more sweeter.
When you're physically out there and you're playing those 90 minutes, does the occasion just completely go because you've actually got the game now, the bit that counts and the bit that actually you're kind of used to doing?
It does for, you know, the vast majority of the game. Obviously, there are moments where the crowd erupts, mm-hmm. and you suddenly realise you're playing in front of 85,000 people again. But yeah, like I said, for the vast majority of the game, it is just a game of football. You're trying to win, and that's all you're focused on. Obviously, at moments like when you have a good attack or you almost score a goal and the crowd go crazy, you have to realise you are playing in front of 85,000 people, and it is sort of, you know, hairs stand up on the back of your neck. But I think we won because we were able to keep our emotions under control and just focus on the game.
And of course, Sunderland, Pompey's opponents on Saturday at the Stadium of Light. How important is it to make sure you don't even think about the occasion a month ago at Wembley, and that is it's an equally as important a game in a different light this time?
Yeah, I think we can use the use the occasion last month. Obviously, we played very well in the second half and in extra time, so we've got to be able to use that and take that into Saturday. But you know, on the other hand, we've got to put the occasion to one side again and treat it like any other game of football, and just focus on our performance, and hopefully that gets us the result we need.
Do moments like that, can you almost say you can have a bit more belief because you got through moments like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think having beat them at Fratton Park, you know, it's going to be a completely different game, but we did win, and to put in the performance we did at Wembley after half time, it's got to give us belief.
Hectic Easter weekend, it always is, isn't it, over Easter. Is it almost weird when you have so many games in such a short space of time as it was over Easter to almost then have a little bit of a break in between matches?
It was hectic, it was busy, it was a tough time physically for us. I think travelled to Burton on Thursday and played Friday, and it was hot for the first time this year, and that does take it out of you. You know, players do notice the difference from playing in pretty cool temperatures in the previous weeks to going and playing in 22 degrees, wherever it was, in a hard game against a good Burton side. So, it was physically testing. We obviously got through it in the final few minutes and then had to play Coventry on the Monday and came through that, with another win. So it just shows how well we did physically and technically to win both games as well. To have a little break now after a busy Easter is nice, and yeah, hopefully all the players are now ready for Saturday.
Does maybe being the early kickoff on Monday against Coventry help you out a little bit more? Because it gives you just that little bit more time of recovery. You had that extra bit of period on Monday, and then you can go into Tuesday almost a little bit fresher because you played earlier, I suppose.
I'm not sure, in terms of just a couple of hours don't make too much of a difference. But like you said, after playing two games so close to each other over Easter, so having pretty much a full week to prepare for Sunderland, it is a welcome break, and I think we've taken that break and trained accordingly.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on the Football Hour. If you want to get your questions into Ben Close, which you'll try and answer in the second part of the show, you can do on the text, it's 81400. Don't forget to start your message with the word Express. You can email us. Our address is pompey@expressfm.com for that. Or if you want to send us a tweet on Twitter, it is @ExpressFM. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we're going to grab your viewer, listener questions here on the Thursday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to this, the second part of this week's Thursday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express. I'm Owen Deacon with you in the hot seat between now and 7 p.m. And the blue star alongside me in the studio this Thursday is Ben Close. Joining tonight, we are proudly brought to you by Stagecoach Buses. If you need travel across the city, head over to their website, stagecoach.co.uk, to plan your next trip. It's part two of the show, which means we're going to read your text, tweets and emails. If you want to ask Ben a question, then email us 81400. Don't forget to start your message with the word Express. You can email us, it's pompey@expressfm.com, or on Twitter, our handle is @ExpressFM. We got one here from Play Up Pompey on Twitter. Great to hear Ben Close, one of the nicest men to support and play for Pompey, talking to the Football Hour tonight. You've had a lot of praise from fans recently. How nice is that to hear? And also, how important is it not to get perhaps too carried away by that?
Yeah, it's great to hear praise from fans on social media and stuff like that. It obviously means you're doing something right on the pitch, and yeah, like you said, not to get carried away either. You got to take it and be happy with it and thankful for the praise, but also not get too far ahead of yourself. Especially at the stage we're at, we've got three big games left and three games to win, so no one's getting ahead of themselves.
Would you say perhaps having a level-headed approach to things is probably the key to success?
I think, I think you need to sort of stay at middle ground all the time. I think if you get too carried away when you win, it's probably a bad thing. And if you get too down when you lose, it's probably a bad thing as well. I think you need to make sure you're not too down when you lose, because if it was a quick turnaround, you've got games coming up all the time. And on the other hand, not to get too carried away, because things do change very quickly in football.
And of course, having so many games in such a short space of time, I suppose, helps in that way.
It does help. I think if you're playing well, you've got a lot of momentum going into a run of games. On the other hand, if you're not doing too well, you know, you've got a short amount of time to go and change it around. You know, in other sports, you don't quite get competition every week. So in football, we're lucky that if we have a bad game one week, you only have to wait another week to go and put it right.
Mike Sadler sent us a tweet. You want to send your text in, by the way. It's 81400 on the text. Start that with the word Express. PompeyExpressman.com on the emails. And on Twitter, it is at Expressman. Mike Sadler says, once had the privilege of meeting the legend that is Ben Close. How nice is that, you know, for you? Because you were a player growing up supporting Pompey, how important is it for you to almost give something back to the fans?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a boy that supported Pompey once myself, obviously. And I looked up to players back then in the first team. Obviously, that was like Premier League days, but you know, it's a similar sort of thing for kids now. They do look up to professional footballers, and as a player, all I can do is try and give things back to kids like that.
Obviously, you're still a fairly young man yourself. Do you look up to other players in that respect, to how they work with the fans, their rapport with the fans a little bit, or do you try and do it your own way, or a bit of both?
Absolutely, you've got to learn from other players, from what they do both on and off the field. I'm always looking at players and trying to learn from what they're doing on the pitch, but also, like you say, it's important what players do off the pitch too. And luckily, I've played with quite a lot of players now, and I've been able to learn. How to be with fans and how to be with supporters that pay money to come watch us play and devote their lives to the club, really.
Does that help you as a human being? Do you feel like it enriches you personally a bit more?
I think it's just important to give back to the fans. Like I said, I was a fan myself once, and I remember, funnily enough, one time I was playing football down the common on Southsea, and Luar turns up in his Range Rover, just driving along, gets out and starts playing football with a huge group of kids, and just stuff like that, that stuck in my mind. So for me to do things that can help kids out and give back to the community and stuff, I've learned from watching players in the past.
I love the idea of Luar just getting out and playing football in Land Rover.
Crazy, honestly.
Shane from Wimbledon sent a text in. Did you learn anything from Ben Thompson during his spell at the club?
Yeah, absolutely. Ben Thompson is an excellent player. He's obviously gone back to Millwall and done very well there too, and just shows what his qualities are. I think he's proven that he's a Championship player. He's gone back to Millwall and been a key part of some of their good results recently. Different sort of player to me, but obviously you can still learn from other players. He had a good attitude, obviously wanted to improve and wanted to learn all the time and wanted to help the team do well, and did very well when he was here.
Do you think that drive of players is almost the key to a team that are up the right end of the table, where there's no dropping of standards, there's no players that don't want to be there, that everyone's in it, they're driven, they're focused, and it's all that same one goal?
Absolutely. I think our position in the table shows that we've got a group of players that have got that sort of mentality. You'll have a look at some clubs in the league and have had some spells of form where they're excellent, but they're nowhere near the top of the table, and it just shows that they've got quality, but they might not have the attitude and the mindset to be consistent all season. And thankfully for us, we've got a group of players that the attitude is excellent, the work rate is excellent, and that's why we are where we are on the table.
And when you look at the actual league table as a whole, you've got that cluster at the top that look like they're completely dragged away from the rest of the table, where it's so close. Do you think that almost, does that almost show that the teams maybe sometimes with a better attitude, a team that's more together, are more successful than those down the bottom, where the inconsistencies have almost come to cost them because it's so tight?
Yeah, there's quality all over the league. We've had some tough games this year and we've come away thinking that their position in the table might be a bit false, but they put up a good fight against us, and then we look at their result next week and have lost to someone near the bottom of the table, and it just shows how well we've done, I think, to be in the position we are at the moment, to still be fighting for automatic promotion. It shows how consistent we've been, it shows how well we've played, but mainly it shows how good our attitude has been and how much we do want to win promotion.
Does that delight you? You go on away day, you nick a 1-0, maybe a game where the opposition could have had chances to level the game, and then you come out and you win, almost like nick the game to a certain extent. Is that one of the best feelings in football, knowing that you've carved out a win?
It is a great feeling to do that. Like, I mean, you ask a lot of players, late winners are such a good feeling for fans as well. And we've had a few recently, and I think it shows, you know, that we're able to hang on in games when it's not going our way, but we've still got quality to go and hurt teams at the other end. And we did it against Burton, we did it against Coventry, and even though conceded, you know, even later at Wembley, we did it there too, with Jamal's late goal. So yeah, I mean, it's lovely to cruise through a game and win 3-4, 5-0, but you know, it's probably no better feeling than having a slog of a game and having to dig in at times and then come out with a late winner like we did at Burton. Yeah.
How important are the supporters? We speak a lot on, you know, in the radio industry or the media industry about the Frat and Faithful being influential, but how truly is it influential when it's a tight game? It's nip and tuck. It really could go either way, especially at home. How important is that crowd to get on your back? Does it really feel like that 12th man?
It does. I mean, especially you know, the other day, obviously we played Coventry, and even after we got the second goal and we're sort of hanging on a little bit and defending deep, you know, the crowd are still singing as loud as they have all game, and it does give you that extra bit of energy. It makes you want to go and win the ball back even more, and yeah, they've been like that all season. You know, we've never had to question the performance of the fans, if you like, but yeah, 100% they do influence our game, and they can definitely help us. Yeah.
Do you think that's why over the years Portsmouth, okay, we've had that period of downs over that 5-year period. Do you think that's why Pompey have had more ups and downs, because the incredible supporter base that will never walk away from the football club?
They won't, and it just showed when we went down to League Two, we were still getting thousands and thousands of fans. And you look at other clubs and it doesn't happen. You know, they fall down the leagues and they don't get the thousands of fans. It only takes going back up the leagues for their fans to turn up again. That's not the case here. We get incredible support no matter what division we're in, and hopefully we can reward the fans this year by getting promoted.
And of course, you've got any questions for Ben, do send them in on the Texas 81400. Don't forget to start that message with the word Express. You can email us, it is studio@expressfm.com or pompey@expressfm.com, or on Twitter our handle is @expressfm. Get your questions in. Any question that comes in now will be going straight on air to Ben Close. So great opportunity for you to get to speak to the player behind the person a bit more. You're going to take on the Keep You Uppy Challenge in a minute. We've had a few players complain that it's egg-shaped. I'm going to go along the line of there being an official steward's inquiry. Are you okay with the condition of the ball, and are you happy to play?
I think they're poor excuses. Yeah, the ball seems fine. Yeah, just poor excuses from the lads there. Obviously, I think the ones that have said it's egg-shaped probably aren't near the top of that table over there.
I don't think Matt Clark has excused it.
No, absolutely not.
Can you beat 179?
179 keep-ups in 1 minute is a lot, and I'm not sure who judged it that day. You know, I don't want to accuse anyone of miscounting, but it does seem like a lot of keep-ups in 1 minute.
A couple of questions come in. The first comes from John in Hillsey. He says, "Hi, it's great to see Ben playing so well this season. Also like the fact that Ben can get forward and score more goals now, as he's always got plenty of goals when he first started with the youth team. Was worried Pompey at times were playing Ben too deep, as it's a big bonus if a midfield player can chip in 8 to 10 goals a season. Keep up the goals, Ben." How nice is that, you know, to transition and get more goals in you? You spoke a bit in the first part of the show. Does it feel more rewarding of the effort you put in if you get that end product of scoring?
Yeah, scoring goals is, you know, one of the best feelings in football. Obviously, priority is to win games, but if I can help, you know, help us win games by scoring goals, you know, even better, because, like I said, scoring, you know, gives you a great feeling. And for midfielders, you know, we have to chip in with goals. And I'm happy with how many goals I've got so far this season. And, you know, there's still time to get a few more, maybe.
No name on this text, but this is almost like a free part of this one. So I'll go with part one first. Great to hear Ben tonight. With 3 games left, do the players feel the tensions and nerves now?
I'm not sure we are. I think the atmosphere around the training camp and just around the lads in general is good. It's pretty calm. It's excited. You know, we're looking forward to the games. And, yeah, we're not really showing any signs of nerves or tension. I think, you know, that will come out Saturday if we are. But from the feeling I get around the group of lads, it's a pretty calm feeling and we're all looking forward to Saturday.
Do you think sometimes it helps being around the lads day in, day out, where you haven't actually got time to, you know, you haven't got days to sit around and stew for yourself, and maybe you feel nervous for yourself because you're in that environment around the lads, you kind of feel at ease, I suppose?
Yeah, potentially. I think being around them so much does ease that kind of tension that might be there in normal circumstances. And yeah, like I said, this week it's been a pretty normal week of training. No one's kicking up a fuss about the game Saturday, and everyone's getting on with their business as usual.
The second part of that text was, what's your favourite thing and your favourite place in Portsmouth?
My favourite place?
Careful.
Yeah, I mean, on a Saturday afternoon, if we're winning, it's Fratton Park. My favourite place, cool. Gunwolf's pretty nice, obviously. You spend a lot of time down Gunwolf, whether it's going to the cinema or eating, you know, eating out.
Not that chicken place.
No, to be fair, no, not Nando's. That's a few of the other lads like Nando's. Jamal Lowe, Anton, who else on that list? Craig, yeah. They like Nando's, but not so much for me. And, of course, the golf course as well.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of music do you like? It's the final part of that question.
Cool. Under the spot. I'm pretty easy with music. Yeah, I listen to anything, really. I think... Jamal is the main DJ at the club, so on a Saturday it'll be his music that's on. Most of the time it's pretty good. Sometimes he can get carried away and it gets a bit too much for the lads, but yeah, music wise I'm pretty easy. I listen to anything.
No one's tried to wrestle him off the microphone yet.
Ronan has. I think Ronan wants his music on there, and he wants to be the DJ, but the lads, you know, didn't like his at all. So yeah, we kept jams on it.
Fighting for bragging rights. Right, Ben, thank you very much for now. We're going to take a short break here on the Thursday Football Hour. And when we return, Ben Close will be taking on the famous Football Hour Keepy Uppy Challenge 180 to take the lead. Can he do it? Find out after the break.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the third part of this week's Thursday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Henry Deegan here for you between now and 7 p.m. And because it is a Thursday night, our guest is a Pompey player. And this week it is Ben Close who's under the microscope. Don't forget that we are proudly sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. If you need to get around the city, then head to their website. It is stagecoach.co.uk to find the easiest way to travel in and around the city. Part three of the show means it is time for the famous Football Hour Keepy Uppy Challenge. If you want to watch Ben's efforts live, then head over to the ExpressFM Facebook page where it is being streamed right now. You can see my glorious face on there. So the rules of the game are simple. Ben Close has three attempts to try and get as far the leaderboard as possible in the space of a minute. Ben, you are totally okay? It's all good to go?
Yeah, all good to go, yeah. Ready.
How are you feeling? Nervous?
No, not nervous. I think if I end up under some of those numbers, I won't be happy. I won't name names, but... yeah, there's some pretty poor scores on there.
Where are we looking ballpark-wise as we see the leaderboard on the Facebook stream?
You've got to aim high. Yeah, as high as possible. Obviously, I don't want to drop it at all to give myself the best chance. So, yeah, I'm looking at promotion, top two or three, really.
How's it tactically going to work? Are we going off the wall or are we going to go normal?
Hopefully normal. Don't really want to be kicking it off the walls. See where that takes me.
Only one more, you're not allowed to break the studio.
That's fine, that's understandable.
Right, are you ready for the Keepy Uppy Challenge? So in 3, 2, 1, off we go. This is starting, you're not going for the wall technique, it's going for the standard Keepy Uppy technique. And it's still going. A bad attempt to be fair, it's not dropped. So far, now going to attempt the wall tactic. Now going to have a little bit of a go at the door. It's still in the air. It's a decent attempt. Matt Clark, remember, 179 is the quarter beat. Jamal Lowe, 151, also impressive. Matt Clark still hasn't got the ball. He's halfway through. He's not hit the wall either. He's doing quite well here to keep this up in the air. This is very impressive. Not just great on the pitch, he's also great with the keepy up, and he's still not dropped. This is fantastic from Ben Close. 20 seconds left, he's still not dropped. He's still not dropped. We've got about 10 seconds to go. 10 seconds. It's on the chest now. This is impressive. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. Time up. Wow. Is what I can say. That's going to be quite high, Ben, I think.
I think it was, yeah, it was all right, but it was a bit slow. Right. You know, I was doing left foot, right foot, so...
Stewards and Clive...
A little bit slow.
We reveal the score.
Yeah.
Whereabouts, ranging between Matt Clark and Nathan Thompson, with Ronan Curtis in the middle, do you think you are?
I think definitely top half. But on a rough count, didn't really get near Matt Clark. So I would say somewhere, yeah, in between Matt Clark and Ronan Curtis, I reckon.
Right, so somewhere between Matt Clark and Ronan Curtis. I'm just trying to see whereabouts Matt Clark is on
the
lead.
He's at the top.
Yeah, that's a good point. That helps. So Ronan and Matt Clark, so you're saying somewhere in the top half?
So yeah, top half, I think.
Right, let's get the official result in. 1-1-3, which means you've gone above Omar Bogle and just below Anton Walks. You look like you sneaked yourself in quite comfortably in mid-table. I take that?
I think you should be getting a... bonus points for not dropping it, to be honest. I think maybe a few of the top half might have dropped one, but yeah, I mean, it's a good score, just not so quick, a little bit slow.
Mason, our adjudicator's here. Has anyone not dropped it in the minute before?
I'm not sure.
Can I put an official statement in, and can I ask, can Ben have 10 bonus points for not dropping it? Is that allowed?
10 doesn't get me anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's not going to really...
I'm a bit far off Anton. So.
We'll have to review.
Right, that's under... it's not a VAR review, but it is under review. It's 1-1-3, but Ben didn't drop it. I think the first time this season has happened. It's a brilliant...
Good quality.
Nonetheless,
bad.
It was a fantastic attempt,
bad, yeah.
It has to be said. You want to get your questions in to Ben on the back of that. Text us 81400. Don't forget to start your message with the word Express. Email us. It is studio@expressfm.com. On Twitter, our handle is @expressfm. I love part three, my favourite part of the show, because we get to get to know the player a little bit more. We get to see what goes on around the club, a bit of the shenanigans and stuff like that. So, if you're ready, we're going to go with the Football Hour quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Right. 3, 2, 1. Off we go. Best dresser at the club?
Gaz Evans, probably.
Best dancer?
Jamal Lowe.
Best taste in music?
God, I'd have to say myself.
Worst dressed player at the club?
Oh, Christian Burgess.
Worst on the dance floor?
Christian Burgess.
Most dramatic?
Jamal Lowe.
Who would make the best dodgeball player?
Jamal Lowe as well, probably.
You're playing a game of Monopoly at the training ground, don't know why. But if you're, let's say the player's gone to jail, who'd be the most likely to strop over it?
To strop. Ollie Hawkins.
Most likely to be a top manager in the future.
Oh. I'm going to go probably Burge as well.
That is the Football Hour quick fire questions. You'll have another load of questions with Ben later on in the show. Just another one of your texts. It's 81400, by the way, if you want to get in touch. Start your message with Express. You can email us pompey@expressfm.com or tweet us @ExpressFM. Shane's got back in touch with us. I'm staying in Newcastle Saturday night. So your best win, or you're going to spoil my night. No pressure.
No, I think that's the case for a lot of Pompey fans. I think there's going to be a few having a hopefully a good night out after, because they'll be celebrating a Pompey win.
Be a little bit of libation, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, if we lose or don't get the result we want, it's going to affect a lot of people's weekends, obviously, including ourselves. So yeah, we're going to do everything we can to make sure we win the game.
Do you think that's what's so unique about Pompey, is that there's a lot of cities that have two or three football clubs. Here there's one football club that's supported to the hill, and there's almost the reflection of the city is almost like the reflection of the football club. Do you almost get that sense at times?
Absolutely. I think you go anywhere in Portsmouth and there's a good chance you're going to strike up a conversation about football, and you're both going to be supporting the same team, which is pretty special. I mean, to be in a city where there are more than one team, you could be talking to someone and it could crop up that you both support different teams. So to be in a place where everyone supports the same team, it is great. You can talk about football, and the likelihood is you're going to both support Pompey.
Does that almost sometimes come with a negative and things don't go as well, though?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a part of football you've got to accept. When it's not going your way, fans aren't going to be happy. Players aren't happy either. You know, we're not happy when we're in bad form. But having a place where football is so important and the fan base is so good, it makes it worthwhile when we're playing well, because, you know, the support on a Saturday at Fratton Park or right in a away ground, you know, when we're playing well, that is even better and it's even sweeter. And then once you're talking about football, you know, with anyone in the city, if you're doing well and the form's good and you're in a good position in the league, you know, the conversation's happy it makes everyone happy.
Has there been one away game this season where you've had a little look at the away contingent, you had a look at the away fans, you thought, wow, this is absolutely incredible? Is there one that perhaps stands out more than another? Or are they all just the same for you?
I think Burton, obviously getting the late winner, they, you know, just went crazy and rightly so to score. To put the team, you know, in the lead is great, but to do it in the 92nd minute is incredible. So, yeah, Burton was a good one. I think going back quite a long way to Peterborough, that was a great day as well. When they were top of the league and we beat them and we went 2-0 up, and the celebrations with the fans after both goals were incredibly loud. And yeah, for me, I would say both those stick out. And obviously Wembley's not Fratton Park either, so that's probably an away game. And that was the best of the lot.
We had a text there from Dave in Stampshire. If you want to get in touch, it is 81400 on the text. Don't forget to start your message with the word express. He says, evening, fellas, and hello, Ben. This Sunderland game must be one of your biggest games, including the lads.
Yeah, I mean, in football, a lot of the time, the biggest game of your season so far, or even your career sometimes, is the next game. And that's been our case for several weeks now. We knew the job in hand, you know, since we lost to Charlton, really. And after that, every game has been more and more and more important, and that's the same this weekend.
When you know the importance of every game, does it make it almost easier to take it one game at a time? Because, you know, if you lose that next game, the game you look at thereafter, it could pale a complete insignificance.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the way I've looked at the last few games, and I'm sure most of the other lads have too. When you're in a tough run like we've had, you know, we've gone from Burton to Coventry to Sunderland, no one was really looking past Burton because we knew how tough it would be, and the only result we could, you know, hope for was a win, and we got it. So we moved on to Coventry and we did the same. No one was really looking at Sunderland just yet. We were all focused on Coventry and obviously the other results that were coming around after that game, and it's going to be the same this weekend. You know, none of us will be looking towards next week. It'll all be on Sunderland and getting the right result there.
And if you've got any questions for Ben in the final part of the show, you can do text us 81400. Don't forget to start your message with the word express. Email us at studio@expressfm.com or pompey@expressfm.com, or you can send us a tweet. Our handle is @expressfm. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, we've got the final part of this week's Thursday Football Hour, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. So join us in just a tick.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Thursday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Henry Deacon here with you between now and 7 p.m. when we have Non-Stop Express. For Chris Pears has our magazine show Express this week from 8 p.m. and Chaz Byrne will be with you from 9. We are proudly sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, so you want to get around the city without the stress, then why don't you get a Stagecoach bus? Ben Close is still with me in the studio for the final part of tonight's programme. Any last minute questions, get in touch on the text. It's 81400. Start that with the word express. Email pompey@expressfm.com, or you can send us a tweet. Our handle is @expressfm. We've got a question coming from Sarah Powers. She says, Ben, how did it feel to play against Connor Chaplin on Monday?
Very different. Obviously, I've played with Connor for years. Yeah, we've known each other since we were probably 11, 12 years old, and always played together, you know, through the academy, and then through, you know, our professional years too. So to play against him, obviously he came on sort of 60, 70 minutes. To play against him was, yeah, really strange. Thankfully, he didn't, you know, have a huge say in the game, otherwise it might have been a more disappointing result.
Does it almost go back to what we spoke about earlier with Wembley Stadium, not to get, when you said, not to get overawed by the occasion, that to forget the fact that you might be good friends with Connor, but for those minutes that he's on the pitch, you're enemies, so
to speak. I think that comes to me pretty naturally. It would come to most of our team pretty naturally. A lot of us were Connor's friends, which still are, but you know, when he was at the club, a lot of us were good friends with him. But on the Saturday, like you said, you are enemies, you are playing against each other, and for us to get the result Saturday was so important, and it just showed, I think, the way we finished the game and got the two second half goals proved that, you know, our full focus was beating Coventry.
Now a text in from Jacob on the text. It's 81400, by the way, if you want to get involved with the text, start that with the word express. He says, what does it take to become a pro, and how did it feel when you made it and got that first pro contract? Good luck for the rest of the season. Basically just taking the question I was about to ask you, but we'll go far away anyway with it.
It's a good question. I think in the first place, to become a professional is a long journey. It's up and down, it's not all smooth. And you need to do a lot of things. You need to initially have, you know, a decent amount of ability. You need to make it a massive part of your life. So you need to play a lot of football growing up. And then once you get older, you need to put other things to one side and focus, you know, purely on football or any sport what you choose to do. So for me, it was obviously football. And from the ages of sort of 8 to 16, it was literally football every day. You got to be dedicated. You got to turn up to training as much as possible. You can't just, you know, feel like you're not feeling it for a session and not turn up, because it will start becoming more and more often. So you've got to be fully dedicated. You've got to have a good attitude, a good work rate. You've got to want to improve yourself all the time. You've got to sacrifice other things growing up, and you need a bit of luck as well. You know, you've got to obviously stay away from injuries as much as possible. You've got to be in the right place at the right time, and all those things put together hopefully will give you a good chance of making it as a professional.
Is it easy sometimes to deal with the distractions? Because obviously when you're still a young man, you know, you're going through things for getting that first pro contract, your friends are doing this, that, the other, where you're still dedicated on football. Is it hard to balance that, or because you're so, maybe just got such a focus, it don't really affect you?
Some players will be different. I think some players will be so single-minded and so focused that they can't get put off by anything. Other players might be swayed and might need a bit of support from their family to help them stay on the right path. Whichever way it happens, the main thing is making sure you do sacrifice certain things when you're growing up, and you do stay on the right path, and you do give football everything. And yeah, like I said, that will give you a good chance.
And when you have those moments, you score goals and things like that, does it make everything you've done, everything you sacrificed, worth it?
Absolutely, yeah. Going back to the question, when I signed my first professional contract, I did sort of have a little sit down and thought to myself, it has been worth it, all the sacrifices have been worth it. The hard work, the dedication, the times where it wasn't going my way and I did feel like it would never happen. And to finally sign that first professional contract just made me think, yeah, I mean, all that hard work has paid off. But I was quickly reminded by the likes of Andy Orford, Paul Hardiman and Alan McLaughlin that this is the start of the road now. The hard work starts now, and they were right. I mean, it's hard enough getting a professional contract, but it's even harder to stay in the game professionally. And already I've seen a lot of players sort of come into the game and fall out of it straight away. Thankfully and luckily for me, I'm still in it, and hopefully I'm improving all the time and working my way up the leagues. The example of signing that first professional contract, and then all these moments along the way, signing more contracts, scoring goals, you know, anything, getting the man of the match, you know, at Fram Park, stuff like that, just makes you realise it is all worthwhile.
As a young man, could you see yourself being anything else other than a professional footballer? Was there anything else that perhaps at a young age you thought, maybe I wouldn't mind doing that maybe as a career going forward? Or?
For me, there was never that doubt. There was never a second choice. I was never sort of overconfident that it was going to happen for me, but I just never thought about doing anything else. I always thought I would try and become a professional footballer one way or another. Thankfully, I was able to stay at Portsmouth my whole career, throughout my childhood and my career so far, and there was no other thought of what else I could do. I mean, I still tried hard at school, I still tried to get good results, and also through my scholarship as well, made sure that I did well in the classroom, and John Slater made sure that we all did well anyway. So I think even though I thought, you know, my whole focus was on becoming a professional footballer, I still obviously made sure I did well in the classroom too.
Another text coming in from Ian. Again, if you want to send a text in to Ben, we've got 8 minutes left of the show, so do get them in quickly. 81400 again, that's the number you need. Start that with the word Express, pompey@expressfm.com if you want to get involved by email, or if Twitter's your thing, it's @ExpressFM. Ian's got in touch with us. He said, does it make a difference when you're on TV? Do you watch it back at home and pick good, bad bits out? Obviously, mainly good for you this year, he says, in brackets.
I think... after now, you know, now I've played several games on TV, it doesn't really make a difference. Obviously, it's nice to record and watch the game back, especially if you play well and win. But we get all our games recorded by the video analysts, so we're able to watch our games back if we want as well. So, playing on TV now has sort of become pretty familiar for me. I've played several games on TV this year alone, so I'd say no, it doesn't really make a difference anymore.
And of course, if Pompey were successful in the season and they did make the jump up to the Championship, you've got that experience of playing a lot of TV games. And it's not just the fact you're on TV. Games get moved around, so you might have to play Friday at 7:45, or at the case of Monday, you have to play it at 12:15 on a Monday, where it's not just 3 o'clock every single Saturday, week in, week out. And sometimes, I suppose, you've got to change parts of your preparation to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to change, like you said, if we do go up. You will have sort of maybe more evening games or games at different sorts of times, and your preparation will change. Obviously, you'll be eating at different times. You won't have the same meals before the game, but you know, we've experienced that this year. We've played at different times. We've played on TV, and that's all good. Good experience for all of us, you know, going ahead of next year.
Is it not daunting, but is it strange at first when you, because throughout your career you're used to, everyone is used to playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, it's just your standard time, and then the week at 7:45 on a Tuesday, when everything changes and you got some of these obscure kickoff times that get bandied about, is it at first a bit weird adapting to something different because you're so used to just one thing consistently?
It is to start with, yeah. We have had a few funny kickoffs, and obviously the one against Coventry was a midday kickoff, so it is about learning to prepare different for certain games and certain kickoffs. But like I said, I think we've done that, and players in our squad have got enough experience of that to adapt to next year if the kickoff times are, you know, even more varied.
Going into Monday, you knew that if you won, you could put the pressure on. Does that enter your mind, or is that something you forget about until after you get the job done?
It is something that you're aware of, yeah, but going into the game, you try and put everything else out of your head, and you purely focus on beating the team ahead of you, and we were able to do that, and that's, you know, a big part of that is because we're able to put things to one side of us and give our all in the game ahead.
Do you think, almost to a point, the best way of sending out a message to a rival is by doing your thing and not even sending a message out, not even trying to send a message out, not trying to fuss about any of it, that you're just doing your own business? Is that sometimes the way that other teams can get a message across?
Yeah, if you're going about your work quietly, that's definitely the way to do it. Recently, I don't think we have been going about it quietly because of this good form that we're in. You know, we've won so many games on the bounce now that everyone's aware of what we're doing. And our full focus is making sure we carry that good form into Saturday.
Is that almost a flip side of TV games? Because everything you do is magnified. If you do something good, it's magnified. If you do something bad, it's magnified.
It is, yeah. And that's something we've got to deal with. I think the higher you go up, the more games that you're going to play on TV. That's the way it works. So, like I said, for me, these last 2 years, we've had several games on TV that have helped me learn how to, you know, deal with the cameras and that. And that's something that me and I think the rest of the squad are fully used to now.
You speak about, you know, how you change it. Does it change your game to a certain extent? When you know that there's so much... Obviously, when you play at Fratton Park, you've got 20,000 people, there's always going to be a spotlight on you. But you've got extra spotlights in for extra cameras, and you know that your games will be broadcast perhaps a million people at a time. Is that an awkward thing to deal with, knowing that you're going to have even more pressure on yourself?
I think maybe at first, yeah. So I think the first game I played on TV was against Derby in the Capital One Cup a few years ago now under Paul Cook. And I remember the build-up to that week, I thought I'd be playing, and I was thinking, this game's on TV, it's the first game I'm going to play on TV. There could be, you know, hundreds of thousands of people watching. But like I said earlier, the more you do it, the more used to the cameras you get. And eventually, you know, you're playing a game on TV, and it doesn't really have any effect at all. And that's the way it should be, especially if we want to go up next year.
Our final question of the night comes from Dave, who sent us a text on 81400. He says, "My young lad has just my son has just been picked for a tournament, missing Monday afternoon school. Like you said, education first and football rewards equally." So is that almost something? Was that something you had to get used to at school? Being a player that's been around the setups and this, that, the other, that you are going to miss school time for various football things, and then having to catch up on various things.
Yeah, that did happen. Once we got to a certain age, we had day release, so we'd miss a day of school every week, and train, you know, with the club and the coaches. So that was under 16s, I think that started. So, or under 15s. So when I was in year 10, I think it started. Mm. And it meant missing a day of school. Obviously, you had to get the allowance from the school to do so. But obviously, that's GCSE time, so you had to go and make that time up and catch up on those extra subjects. So it's fully worth it. I think it's not much of a sacrifice to miss a day of school. I think you can definitely catch up on that, and to be able to go out of school and play football for a whole day and train with the 16s and with. The good coaches that academies have, it's definitely worth it.
How important is a good mindset from a young age to make sure you mix both together?
It is important. I think it just it backs up that mindset of working hard in everything you do, and that's only going to help you in the world of football.
Well, Ben, unfortunately, our hour is almost up. Thank you very much for joining. It's been a fantastic guest to see, and really do appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, all attentions for the Blues now lie on Sunderland and the Stadium of Light, and that will be my focus tomorrow night. I am back in the chair when I host the Friday Football Hour as we preview the game against Jack Ross's Black Cats. Pompey Live will be back with us on Saturday afternoon, and the full team will return. Your Pashy Pompey team will be back in place on 2 o'clock when Liam Howes, Jake Smith and Alan Knight have all the essential build-up, half-time analysis and post-game thoughts, and with commentary as well from 3 p.m. with Andrew Moon and Guy Whittingham. My thanks to Ben Close for joining me, and of course, more importantly, my thanks to you for joining us this evening, the listener. Of course, as I said, I'm back same time tomorrow. Hope to have your company again then. And so on between now and 6 p.m. tomorrow. Play up, Pompey!